I'm going to read the same passage in English. It's taken from Matthew chapter 27, starting at verse 57, going through to chapter 28, verse 10. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in his own new tomb, which had been cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember how that impostor said, while he was still alive, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he has risen from the dead, and the last fraud will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go, make it as secure as you can." So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me."
Thanks, Rhoda. Thanks, Andrew. You know, you get those days that start really well. The first light of the sun shines into your room and you wake up to know this is a good day. It might be the morning of your wedding day, or the morning after someone agreed to go out with you and you feel like you are floating above the ground and everything is wrapped in a golden kind of colour. Or it might be the morning after they offer you that job and you know there's a whole new world of possibilities in your hand. You feel wonderful. Nervous to bits, but wonderful. Or for lots of us, it might be last Saturday morning when you wake up and know, holidays, the term is over, the holidays have begun. Okay, there's about 10,000 words of assignments to do, or 500 bits of marking and preparation to do, but holidays. Mind, probably if that was the reason that you felt good last Saturday, then it wasn't the first light of the sun coming up that woke us. It was a vague sense that it was round about noon. But getting out of bed at noon, that only makes it a day that starts really well. But whatever your good sunrise moment is, multiply it and square it and cube it and then multiply it again to get Easter. Because this Easter in the New Testament is a better day. Really doesn't start that way. And it comes after three really bad days. Days that are the very picture of life in this dark world. Thursday ended really badly. Jesus had the Passover meal with his disciples upstairs in a secret location in Jerusalem. And we get the surprise announcement. As they were eating, he said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were very sorrowful. And then over the meal, Jesus explains how he is going to die and what that will mean for them. So we get, "My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." So Jesus will be betrayed. Jesus will die. But the result will be forgiveness for many. And while the disciples are still digesting this, Jesus takes them out into the garden on the Mount of Olives. He prays, they sleep, and we get Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. And then all the disciples left him and fled. But the night for Jesus, that night for Jesus goes on and on while he's taken and quizzed by the priests. That was a bad day. But Friday starts even worse. We get, when morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound him and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate the governor. And we know how it goes. Pilate is convinced that Jesus has not done anything wrong, but we end up with, he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him over to be crucified. And we know how awful it is. Matthew does not go into any of the details. But for these people who we meet here, we get, there are also many women there looking on from a distance who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. And they are witness to the terrible moment that Matthew describes. Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And Friday ends for them here in verse 57. Jesus has died. What he said about forgiveness and a covenant is nowhere to think of. And Joseph of Arimathea goes to Pilate to ask for Jesus' body. And that's pretty brave for Joseph. Even if Pilate allowed for bodies to be taken down from crosses, usually they would be put somewhere really insulting. To hand the body of a crucified person over for a private burial, that is really unusual. And Joseph treats Jesus' dead body with all the honour that he can. Verse 59, a clean linen shroud. Verse 60, his own new tomb. It's not much consolation. Jesus is dead, but it is the best that Joseph can do. But then this day ends very badly. In verse 60, there's a stone rolled across the entrance to the tomb, and that's it. For Mary and the others, it's completely over. And Saturday is no better. Verse 62, the next day. So, Saturday. And this time, we see in verse 62, it's priests and Pharisees going to Pilate. Somehow they have picked up a version of Jesus talking about rising from the dead. And they want to guard against anyone saying that it happened. So we get verse 64. "Therefore order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people, 'He's risen from the dead.' And the last fraud will be worse than the first." Now, careful with this. Pilate has already had a rotten day with these people on Friday. And by this time, he is completely fed up with them. You know, sometimes people talk as though Pilate sends a crack squad of Roman troops. But see what he says in verse 65. You have a guard of soldiers. Go and make it as secure as you can. That is a good translation. Pilate is not handing any Roman soldiers over to these scheming, manipulating priests. They have got their own soldiers. The priests have got what history calls the temple police, a private security company run by the priests to keep order in the temple. And these are the ones that the priests send to guard Jesus' tomb. And afterwards they report back to the priests. So by the end of Saturday, Jesus is dead. In verse 66, his tomb is sealed up. And now there is a bunch of security guards there keeping people away from him. That has to be a bad day. Then we get Sunday. Chapter 28, verse 1. The first day of the week. And this starts as a bad day. Verse 1. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And first thing in the morning, this day is not any better than the last two. We already have the sealed tomb and the guards, but now in verse 2 there's an earthquake. Then there's an angel. Now, he is a messenger, but he looks frightening. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing was white as snow. The private security guards can't take it. They fall down in verse 4. And then the day starts to get better. The angel does what angels are supposed to do in the Bible. He delivers a message. Verse 5. Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Three times Jesus had said that he would rise. Matthew 16, to be killed and on the third day be raised. Matthew 17, they will kill him and he will be raised on the third day. Matthew 20, and deliver him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified, and he will be raised on the third day. And now the angel says, it's happened. And the angel shows them the empty spot where Jesus' body used to be. Verse 5, come. See the place where he lay. The angel didn't raise Jesus. Jesus didn't even need an angel to open the tomb so that he could get out. He has already gone. Somehow, he has his own way of leaving a tomb. But the tomb is empty. Then the angel gives them one instruction. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I've told you. So their mission is to go and tell the others. And Galilee, well, back in chapter 26, Jesus told them, after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. Now, at last, this is starting to be a good day. A very good day. Then we get verse 8. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And then it gets very, very good. Verse 9. And behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Isn't that fantastic? Wouldn't you just love to be with Mary and Mary at that moment? Everything has turned around. The Jesus who they saw executed is alive and standing there. The Jesus whose body was sealed into a tomb, he's back. The Jesus whose body was guarded against being stolen is alive and saying hello and planning a trip to Galilee. The things that Jesus predicted have happened. The forgiveness of sins that Jesus talked about must be somewhere in all of this. And something very strange has happened to the power of death. This is getting to be a very, very good day. But it gets even better. Think about where this comes in everything. What was it that Jesus said way back in chapter 5? Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. So when is that going to happen? We can see Mary and Mary being comforted after they mourn. We can see them being comforted right here. But when it comes to inheriting the earth, well, that still looks like it's going to be people like Pilate and the priests, not the meek. On the Friday, we have seen a gross miscarriage of justice. So, when are people hungering and thirsting for righteousness going to be satisfied? When is that going to happen? And then, what was it that Jesus taught his disciples to pray? Back in chapter 6, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So again, when? When is this great moment when the Father's name is honoured and loved and treated as the most wonderful thing in every place? When do we see God's kingdom, God's reign, and the marvellous new way of living human life that Jesus has been talking about? When do we get to see God's will being done on earth just like in heaven itself? Because we're not seeing any of that so far. And once we start looking, this is all the way through. Jesus keeps teaching his disciples to look forward to something great. In chapter 13, we get parables about seeds growing up to a great harvest. In chapter 18, 19, and 20, we get Jesus talking about judgment on evil that is still to come, and a new life that is still to come, and forgiveness that is still to come, and the first being last and the last being first. In chapter 25, we get Jesus looking forward in a parable to the moment when God says, come you who are blessed by my Father and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. We get Jesus looking forward to a much better day than any we've seen so far. Evil gone. And people who love God rejoicing in him forever. So where is it? Or cast the net wider over the Bible. The old prophets, hundreds of years before this moment, Amos the prophet paints this picture. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when the ploughman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes, him who sows the seed. The mountains shall drip sweet wine, and the hills will flow with it. And they shall plant vineyards and drink their wine, and they shall make gardens and eat their fruit. And then Isaiah the prophet, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his days. The wolf and the lamb shall graze together. The lion eats straw like the ox. And dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Like the things that Jesus teaches the disciples, that is all looking forward to a truly great day. But then, once we have this new dawn of Jesus' resurrection, once this happens, see what the rest of the New Testament does, looking back to this moment at Jesus' tomb. Peter, the disciple. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable. Paul the Apostle. Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Or his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead. Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. There's this thread that runs all through the New Testament, that this moment in the garden in Jerusalem is the beginning, but it's the guarantee of more to come. The future that Jesus and the prophets looked forward to, that is still future. But now that Jesus is raised from the dead, he's what Paul calls the first fruits. Yeah, that is a word and a concept from ancient Israel, but it's not hard to work out, is it? The first fruit of the harvest, the beginning bit. And where there is first fruits, then the next fruits and the fruits after that, they're going to come, aren't they? The rest is only a matter of time. And that getting rid of evil, the getting rid of evil that Jesus and the prophets talk about, Paul the Apostle speaking in Acts chapter 17. God has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. This moment at Jesus' tomb is the guarantee that the rest is going to happen. It's the beginning, the first fruits. We just happen to be in the time between this first bit and where it goes. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. When the sun rose on that scene outside Jerusalem, it started as another very bad morning, but the day got better. But then, with everything else in the Bible, that sunrise is just the beginning. It's the start of a much better day.
the better day that Jesus talked about so often, the better day that the prophets looked forward to, the better day that the rest of the New Testament tells us starts here. But everything, all of that, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. All of that is the better day that begins here. And if we thought all of that was, all of that is too good to possibly happen. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Your kingdom come. I create a new heavens and a new earth. If we thought all of that was too good to possibly happen, well, what we see here in verse 9, that is too good to possibly happen, but God's already done that. With this better day that God promises, it's like this moment in Matthew is the sunrise of that day. So of course the rest will follow. This is the beginning, and it guarantees the rest to come. We want to get that into our heads today. This beginning is good. The beginning is good. But the rest, the wolf and the lamb shall graze together. Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. The rest is the best we could possibly want. It's not just a better day. It's the best of days. And it begins right here, in the dawn, in the first century, with Jesus alive again. With Jesus' resurrection in the past, we look back at that moment and we can look forward at all of these big Bible promises and we can say, well, that's it. These things are coming. We can see the sun has risen, and it's just the beginning.